Well, good evening. Is everybody doing all right? As we went over this morning, this means yes, this means no, just making sure you guys are tracking with me. That's good. Well, it is so good to be with you tonight and to be back from a few years ago. We got a chance to come out here and get to share and to be with you guys. And so tonight, I'm very excited to come and to get to share and to be with you this weekend. So thanks for your open arms and a big party for me coming back. I appreciate that. And that was touching. Meant so much, all that food. Or Leo's birthday, I forget which one it was, but it was a fun night. So I kind of want to start, and I need to just kind of come clean, because I think what we're going to talk about tonight, I don't want to come across as harsh or as shame or as difficult. I really want you to hear my heart tonight. 3 years ago when I was here, we talked about five different very important relationships that all of us have. And all of them were built off of concentric circles, meaning that the most important relationship you're going to ever have is your relationship with God. The second ring that I believe the second most important relationship you're ever going to have is the relationship with your family. Before the church, before a small group, before even the world, God created the family long before he created the church. It was the first institution that God created, okay? But I think it's the most attacked institution of our day, okay? So if you agree with that, say this. Okay, this is your fault then. You are agreeing with me. So where we are about to go, you are giving me permission, right? So what I would like for us to do is talk about a subject that I don't think we talk about a lot, but we don't want to work on a lot, but we talk about a lot. And that is simply the subject of margin. I don't think we have enough margin in our life today. And some could say that's our fault, and some could say it's not our fault. But what I would like to do is to have some permission for us to talk about a hard subject that may make us feel uncomfortable, and that's okay. Again, the goal is not to beat us up. The goal is not to shame us. The goal is not to say you are wrong and I am right. I have made all these mistakes myself. I have the beautiful thing about being the age I am, the things that I said when I was young because I was immature and naive, that I realized older I just walked right into, and this is why those other people did those things and I didn't understand them. So I hope what you hear is a guy who's got two college kids, and some of the mistakes I've made along the way, and some of the things now that I hold very dear to me, and those things have helped me get to a place where I hope that I have margin in my life. Now, I'll be honest enough to say, I think there are seasons of that. Sometimes life happens, and it's just a busy season, and we're going to get through this, and we're just going to have to plow through. That's life sometimes. Sometimes crisis hits, and it's amazing how much margin we can find when crisis hits. Because all of a sudden, nothing else matters. We get a bad diagnosis from a doctor, boom, it's amazing how much margin we can put back in our life. Work doesn't go well, we get let go, boom, it's amazing how much margin our entire family can then come around. It's amazing how we can decide when, and sometimes how life helps us decide that. So again, I hope that after tonight what we've done is we've spent some time repurposing margin, consolidating, and resolve to work on it. Okay, is that fair? This means yes. This means no. Good. Yes, sir. Yes, that's what that was. That was a thumbs up, not necessarily you had a question. That's good. So I want to start with a question. Are you willing tonight to commit that your answers will match your actions? I know you don't know the questions yet, but that's by design. Are you willing to have the courage? You know, we did this when we said yes to Jesus. We didn't know the fine print when we said to him either. And most of us didn't realize it meant like total surrender of everything forever. But my question to you tonight would be, are you willing to let your answers, when you say, yes, I need to work on margin, let your actions back that up? Not just shake your head because everybody else in the room is doing it. Is that right? Is that okay? So I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want your answers. I want you to commit that your answers would match your actions. So here are a couple questions. Do you need margin in your life? Only you can answer that. You don't even have to shake your head. I just want you to be honest with you. Okay? Some of you that are family units in here, you need to be honest as a family. And students and children, some of you need to give your parents permission to make some of these changes. Yes, ma'am. Margin is creating some space, some bandwidth in our life so that we can have freedom to do some other things. In other words, the capacity. Great question. Thank you for letting me clarify. So if this were all the time we had to do stuff during the day, some of us are here. Too much going on. So dad goes this way, mom goes this way, we got kids over here, we got kids over there. We get home at 9 o'clock and we still have to do homework and life's just crazy and we just left a kid at school because we didn't even know where he was. That's what we need to do is we need to take control of our family. It's the one institution God has given us control of and responsibility for. It's important we do. And so what I want to talk about tonight was, how do we do this? The answer is not to do this. And I don't want you to go out of here and change 40% of what you do and quit all the teams and quit all the stuff that you do and say no to everything. I'm going to give you some permission to say no to some things. And I want to challenge you before you say no to some things that you need to say no to the right things. Okay, so we're just going to go on this journey and let's see what happens while we go on this journey. And I think God's going to say some things to us that we need to hear, but more than we need to hear them and agree with them, we need to do something about them. Okay? If we want maximum impact, if you really want there to be a difference when you leave here than when you came, then have the courage to give God permission to get up in your business a little bit. Okay? So let's pray. God, we give you this time. God, we're just trying to figure this thing out. None of us are perfect at this. The world is not in favor of our family. And God, we gotta fight for what's ours. So God, help us be honest. Help us to move past the fear that some of these decisions can cause. And help us try to hold on to what is the most important thing in our journey. In my prayer, amen. So one, do you need journey and margin in your home? I mean, in your home. Okay, you can agree with that. Second, are you willing to make tough choices to get it? Because it will require tough choices, all right? Anytime you make a choice, you need to understand the magnitude it's having on your margin. Anytime your kids make a choice for you that commits you to something, whether that's the school play, whether that's soccer, whether that's you agreeing to something to commit to in the community or even here at church. And we're going to talk about that. But it's going to take some tough choices. Are you committing, third question, are you committing that while you know it will require hard, unpopular, possible, costly decisions, it's too important to, are you willing to acknowledge that? That even though you know getting margin is going to cost you, it's going to require you to make hard decisions, unpopular decisions, meaning your family may be upset with you. Your mom and dad may be upset with you because you're not coming to their house this weekend like you told them. Sorry, now we're getting personal, right? It may be that you tell your kids you can't do that, and here's why. It's going to require costly. We're going to do this, and it may cost you starting this week at the game. You may not get the lead in that play because we're going to make this decision because it's right for what we want to create, okay? Not anti-family, not anti-fun. I'm all for those things. I have had all those things and will continue to have all those things, but it means when you want to find margin in today's time, it's going to make a hard decision, an unpopular decision, and possibly costly decisions. That may be because you choose not to take a job or a promotion that's in front of you. And it may cost you some money. It may cost you some status in the company. But you realize what that job's going to take from your family is greater than what it will give your family. Does that make sense? Again, it's just hard, but we need to weigh these things or else we're going to stay at this same capacity, being overextended, and not just our time, but our finances, our time, our quality experience and the memories that God, and even our faith because of what we may be sacrificing in the journey. It's easy to say, it's harder to do, but you can and you have to, okay? Why is this important? Let me be very clear. It's important Because you are the only one in society and in this world that's going to fight for your family. Nobody else is going to, and no one else cares. Why? Because they're consumed with their family and their margin. Now, the only thing that would be different is your parents. If your parents are always more concerned about you because they see this and they say it. You're just so busy. Y'all are just going in 100 different directions. So they care. I'm not saying they don't care, but you see what I'm saying? You've got to make the decisions. No one else is. I promise you the schools are not going to say, you know, you guys got way too much homework. Y'all are way involved in too many extracurricular activities. Y'all need to back off a little bit. Y'all just take the, we're going to cancel the last three games of the football season because we want you to have Friday nights back. School's not going to do that, are they? No. Church isn't even necessarily going to do that. You know why? Because we're afraid that if we do, you're going to fill it up with the other things out there. And guess what? You probably will. So why would we give that ground back to the enemies? That makes sense? Again, gosh, we got to get busy here. Let's jump in here. So number one. One of the reasons why we need margin in our life is because family is our responsibility. Well, let's do this. Let's define margin. So go to the next slide. Let's just make sure we clarify that. So margin. Margin is about being selective, sometimes doing less, scheduling less, and learning to say no. Margin is about having extra time, energy, money, not because we worked harder, but because we changed our expectations and our definition of success. Does that make sense? Some of you may want to take a picture of that, because when you get confused later and you start to, we need to go back to the definition. It's not because you work harder doing more to make more. It's because you change your expectations and you change your definition of success. All right, so let's get in here. Open up to 1 Timothy chapter 6. So again, our first point, family is our responsibility. I'll do, there we go. All right, so chapter 6, 17 through 21, I want us to spend some time on. So here we go. 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 21. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth. We cannot put our hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. My best friend, VP at a major company in the United States, CenturyTel, got his 2-week notice the other day. Completely blindsided, never knew it was coming, cannot put his hope in wealth, nor can we. Let's keep going. Which is so uncertain. But to put their hope in God. Not the world, not activities, not events, not wins versus losses. Put your hope in God, which richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Isn't that cool? God is pro-family, isn't he? God is pro-fun. He is pro-memories. He wants your family to be a fun and a great experience for you. He is not against it. He wants your hope to be on him, because if it's on him, he knows he can define what success truly is. Verse 18, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. If you need a list of things that your family's supposed to be doing, start with verse 18. To do good. That means for your neighbors, for friends. You have been about that. Kevin continues to give us reports how you have helped your community through Harvey and all that's going on. And we were honored to be a part of that from a distance at Dawson. And so it's great to see what you're doing. But do good. Be rich in good deeds. Not just do them. Be rich in them. Be generous, willing to share. 19, in this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the what? The coming age. Who is that? Who's the coming age? Children, right? People that your kids, people, their kids, your grandkids, all of that for the coming age, so that they will take hold of the life that is truly life. Verse 20, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. That's a great line. One of the things that if we want to anchor our understanding of this subject, we must understand that Paul is telling the Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. Your family has been given to you. It's your responsibility. It's our responsibility to take care of it. Turn away from godless chatter and opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. We may have to turn away from what the world is saying, right? Which some have professed, and in so doing so, have departed from the faith. How many times have you said, you know, where's that such and such family? They used to come all the time. Oh, they're doing travel ball. Oh, their son's involved in this, their daughter's doing this, or they got this down here. And all of a sudden, where do you see now they're spending all their time? Now, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not beating up travel ball. Let me explain this. My son played travel ball. He was a very successful athlete. Actually, in high school, his senior year, they won nationals in high school baseball for USA Baseball. He made the game-winning last out, dribbled down to third, boom, out first. Game's over, we win nationals. It was a great experience. We did a lot of travel ball. We lived in Orlando. We played ball all year long. And so I believe in travel ball. I do believe that you, let me say it this way. I believe in travel ball if you understand that travel ball is a mission field for you and your family. Let me clarify that. Every season I had baseball with my son, on the inside brim of his hat was a verse. That was going to be his verse for that season. Every time before a game started, he prayed and he asked his other teammates if they would want to pray with him. When we were in the stands, we were not there worried about our child's playtime and how much game time he got. We were more concerned about building relationships with the people that were in the stands instead of worrying about and consumed about our child's playtime. Because we knew now God had put us for the next 2 hours, because that's how long it seemed to last. Six times every fall, people to build a relationship with so that we could talk to them about Jesus and invite them to church. The longer you're in church, the less lost people you are around. So for me, especially as a pastor, it put me right in the middle of lostness every week. It put my son right back in the middle of lostness. So for us, it was a mission field, and we commissioned our people. Even in our church, we had prayer walking of baseball fields before a season started. We gave every kid stickers that said "Shine On" was a baseball. And they put on their helmet, so one of their friends in the dugout would say, "What's that sticker for?" And they've memorized Matthew 5:16. "Let your light so shine." We'll talk more about that tomorrow. But it was something that we commit. So again, if you're going to do it for the right reasons, for the right success, I think it's okay to put it in there. But not at the capacity that it throws you off. It may mean then, if we're going to do this, we're not going to do this. Does that make sense? Okay. And Paul's given us instruction here. Guard what you have. Take care of it. Because the first thing that always gets cut is God's time. The first thing you will cut because you're tired, you get up later in the morning, or you're coming home and it's just scattered, or Sunday it's been a long weekend, so we're not going to go to church tomorrow, we're just going to watch online, or we're going to watch something else, or I'm just too tired, so I'm staying in bed. And all of a sudden, what feeds you the most in life is the very first thing we seem to abandon because we're tired. Now, there are multiple ways to build some of that back in, but nothing's going to replace your time with God. Second thing that usually gets cut is your spouse time. Your spouse time is the first thing. The second thing gets cut. You're not going on dates. You're not spending time. Your kids aren't watching you guys. And the relationship that you have and aren't seeing the right fruit that's going to lay foundation for them later because you guys are scattered because everything's going. And no wonder you guys are wrestling with stuff, fighting because you're stressed, you're frustrated, you don't have any time. You're taking money out instead of putting money in. Does that make sense? You're not depositing in the relationship. You're just taking withdrawals out of the relationship. And so you have to be careful of that because that's the second thing that's going to get cut because you're so busy. Third thing is going to be family time. What you want the most and the reason why you're trying to do this for your family so your kids can have this incredible experience is now the thing that you're ultimately sacrificing because you don't have time around the dinner anymore. I mean, around the table anymore. You don't have time on the weekends because you get up at 8 o'clock and we're gone. Sunday afternoons, those aren't precious anymore. No one's protecting those days anymore like it used to be 10, 15 years ago. There are already sports before you get out of church. When we play travel ball, I just told the coach, he's not playing on Sunday. He's not playing on Sunday, sorry. Unless it's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. But he's not going to be there. Now, fortunately for us, we also had Saturday night church. So we could get finished with the game, play on Saturday, and show up on Sunday. Again, it worked out for us, but we didn't want to compromise some things that were very important to us of what we were doing. And then the fourth thing I think we sacrificed is ministry time. You and I, because of the margin and how tight we make this thing, may be giving up the opportunity to be somebody else's answered prayer. Let me say that again. Because of the capacity of which we live life, we may be giving up the chance for God to use us as somebody else's prayer. We get to be somebody's answer to prayer, and because we didn't have margin, we may have missed it. So question, is there enough margin in your life that if God prompted you to be someone's answered prayer, could you answer the call? Classic example, you're driving on your kids on the way to practice, you're going to ballet, you got to get to something that you've committed to, a club or something you're doing, and all of a sudden you see somebody pulled over on the side of the road. And the first thing you think of is, man, I need to pull over and help that lady. Young mom, she's got two kids in the car, but a flat tire. And the first thing you think is, I can't stop, because if I don't get you to practice, you're not going to start in a ball game Saturday. And you're the shortstop. You're the best guy on the team. You're the best girl in the dance. I got to get you. You're the quarterback of the team Friday night. So you may have just missed the opportunity to be somebody's answered prayer. More than that, you may have just compromised the opportunity to teach your child that's with you, ready to go to practice, ready to go to bow, the most important lesson you could in life. That you starting and you being in the dance is not near as important as us helping somebody in need. And we blow right by. Why? We want to. We even look in our rearview mirror at them as we pass them by, because that really makes us feel a lot better because we've passed them. And we make them feel like, oh, I really wish we got, I can't, we got to get to this. And they're waiting on these cupcakes and this. And we miss the opportunity to be somebody's answer prayer. Again, I'm not shaming. I don't want to beat you up. I just want to help us to understand what it may be costing us by making those decisions. We're going to get to the how, because I really believe it's not fair to tell you what you should do without telling you how to do it, okay? So stay with me. We'll get there. All right. So I want you to know this. If you build margin into your life, well, let me say that. If you really want to be used by God and be somebody's answered prayer, I promise you this. I know this for a fact. God will not schedule that on your calendar. God is not going to make it convenient for you. Because it's going to happen when it needs to happen, not when it's, you know, God, at 2 o'clock, if you could really provide me an opportunity to be a witness for somebody, that would be great. Doesn't always happen like that. And so we need to be ready so that we can say, hey, I'm going to be a few minutes late because I'm helping somebody. And on the other end, they know that's the right call. I wish you were here. I'm frustrated that you're not. But we agreed to this. We made the hard decision. We knew it would cost us something. We knew it would be unpopular. But we made this call and we're going to be faithful to it. Okay? So keep staying with me. You're doing great. I know this is heavy. It's not fun. It's not even funny. But it's just what it is, right? So let's keep going. All right. Let me make sure I get there. All right. So second reason why we should be and need margin is because God wants to use us. God's what we've just been talking about, that God wants us to be somebody's answer prayer. Look in Luke 10. Luke 10, verse 41. You know this story. It's Mary and Martha. Jesus is talking. Go ahead to the next slide. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Only, indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Are you choosing better? Are you choosing better? Or is better being chosen for you? Again, we're going to look at what that means and how we do that practically in a minute. Again, don't get defensive. Don't get mad at me. Come back tomorrow, please. Are you choosing better? Our culture has told us that we have to play this, we have to do this, we have to get extra lessons for this if we want to be successful. You got to play Little League, but then you got to do travel ball, you got to do 6 tournaments, and you got to raise all this money. And I'm not saying we don't play, I'm just saying we have to manage it. It's our responsibility, and nobody else is going to do that. You got 3 or 4 kids, it's going to be chaos. I get it. But you may have to make some hard decisions, and in the process, you have the opportunity to teach your children the same thing. So, the other thing I would say is that when it comes to a reason that we need to build margin in our life, it's because God wants us to enjoy life. Simply put, He wants us to enjoy life. So let's see. Go to Ecclesiastes 3. It'll be up here on the screen. I perceive that there's nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should get to eat, drink, and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. God wants us to have life. If we'll build margin in there, we're going to wake up on some of those days and we're going to get past the hard decisions and we're going to go, this was good. This was a good day for our family. Ever get away and go do something with your family and come back and say, boy, that was great. Have a picture that's hanging on the wall now, and every time they look at it, they go back to that moment. That you actually got away for a vacation that was fun and you got to do, and it wasn't so busy, but you just got to do some cool things with your family. And your kids say, man, that was so much fun. Let's do that again. That's a fun place to be when it comes to our families. So, one of the questions would be fair, did Jesus have to deal with margin? Absolutely, Jesus had to deal with margin. He was definitely had decisions that he had to make and things that he had to deal with. So let's look in Mark 1:31. You think you have stress on your life? What does it say? The whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. If you go to 36, but this is what he did. Very early in the morning, while it was dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. He gives us the model. He is saying, stressors and life is going to require a whole lot from you. So you have got to make sure you make the priority to spend time with God. If you're not having that time, then you're going to be empty. He knew he needed to go away and recharge. Look at this. Several places it says throughout Scripture. In Mark, it says he went to a desert place and rested. In Mark, he went to the sea to get away. He said, we got to get out of here, guys. We got to go. On the mountain, they went. From the crowds to a solitary place, we see all through the Gospels that he did that. And it's interesting that 40 days before the crucifixion, what did he do? He went out in the desert, right? He was charging his batteries. He was having summer camp for 40 days. I just think that's awesome because he knew what it was going to take for the next few weeks. And so he created the margin. He made sure he was charged. He made sure he did everything he needed to do. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed because he knew that's what was going to help him. Not only that, God created the Sabbath. We see this in creation. So from the beginning in time, God has given us a formula and a mandate that we need to rest. Look what it says in Exodus. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days and you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son nor your daughter, nor the male or the female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigners residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested. If Jesus needed rest, if God needed rest, I'm just saying, right? We may need to build in some rest in our life as well. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. All right, so to some of the good stuff. So I think we would all agree we need margin, right? We would all agree it's important. We're not going to question that. So the question would be how? How do we do that? Well, let's talk about that a little bit. And then we're going to do a little exercise. And then just kind of see what you do after this when it comes to this. So how do we do it? Two simple words. We need to simplify and we need to invest. We need to simplify our schedule and all that we're doing, and we need to decide the right things to invest in. It's just that simple. Now, that's hard, but it's simple. We need to simplify and invest. Now, look, let me clarify. There's two dynamics happening here. If you're already overextended, this is going to be a more painful process because you're going to have to reduce. That make sense? This means yes. If you're not, then you have to manage and not let it get out of control. Does that make sense? So both of those are an ebb and flow of your life, and it's going to come like that. That's why you're going to have to make decisions as a couple, as a family on some things. Hey, if we do this, then we're not going to be able to do that. Oh, I'd like to. Okay, well, then that's our decision. Or we're going to say, you can't do all those sports. You can't do all those things. Why? Because we have to simplify, because I know what's most important. Now, the difficulty is, the challenge is that we don't fill that up with something else, or we don't maximize the time that we do have. Because we're all going to be tired, and what we want is kids go to bed, mom and dad are going to stay up, and we're going to have some quality time just to us. Sometimes that's necessary. But it's not so you can be on the TV, they can be on their iPads, everybody's got a screen in front of their face, and you're not doing something as a family. Game time is still a fun time for family. It's okay to, I watch TV all the time. I love it. But it's okay to turn the TV off and do some fun things. If it's the right show, watch it as a family. Just talk about it when it's over. Just, again, build it in. Family was like, it was important for us in the mornings. We lived in a car, it seemed like, after school. So we made the most of our time in school, in the car. And we're going to talk about, how do you consolidate? How do you repurpose? How do you do some things? Those things are important for us as we kind of move through this. So as we simplify and as we invest, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 5 because God gives us some great stuff to think about here. He says, be very careful then how you live. What a great word. Let's not ignore the truth of God's word. Be careful how you live, not as unwise. It's popular to say yes to all those things, but it's not wise to say. Why? Because God knows you're going to get overextended and you're going to miss the opportunity to do ministry. You're going to miss the opportunity to really build quality into your family and build the foundation that you're going to want for your family. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days, they're evil. They're evil. So here's some practical things I think we should do. All right, the first thing we have to do is be intentional. When it comes to your schedule, take back the responsibility and make your schedule for your family and for yourself intentional. We're going to do this because kids today only have like 8 weeks of summer where we used to have 12 weeks. So between a camp here and cheerleading here and band this and all this, all of a sudden, we do have limited time, so you may have to combine a mission trip and your family vacation. When my kids were in high school, our summer vacation was the student ministry mission trip, and I went as a chaperone. My wife went as a chaperone, and that was our family mission trip because we wanted to maximize. Now, again, I'm not telling you I'm the standard here. I'm just telling you some things we did because we couldn't do 3 other weeks because they didn't have time, so we wanted to make the most and be intentional with the things that we did. There were some times we decided we're not doing, this is a dead weekend, what we would call them. And dead weekends meant nothing's going on, we're going to be at the house. I have a family, and I hate them, because every Sunday afternoon was nap time in their house. And they never violated it. And I was so jealous that they made it happen. And you just knew, if you text them, you weren't going to get a text back to about 8 o'clock that night. Because they said we're going to have, they would go out and eat and they would go home. And from like 2 to 8, they didn't exist. And I admired that because they said our family needs this rest. This is the right, I know you want to go to the party. Yeah, I know you want to go do this. Yeah, that sounds like a fun thing to do. We're going to be here. And since they knew about it before, the kids did, they knew. Oh, Sunday, I can't go. That was something that was already set up within their culture of family. Very difficult to take it back once you've given it, right? So that's why sometimes you need to say, I need to talk to your dad about that. I need to talk to your mom about that. I need to talk to the pastor if you really want to delay this thing. Hey, I need from just figure out your system so and teach your children. I'm not going to make that call right now. If you want me to make that call right now, the answer is no. That's a very easy way to guarantee they'll back off as long as it becomes no and hold to it. You need to be intentional. Second, you need to be the adult. You're the one responsible for your family. You're the one who's been placed in charge. God's given you that responsibility, and that is so difficult because we want our kids to love us. But let me encourage you to do something, something I used to tell my kids. I still tell them this to this day. I don't need you to be my friend. I have my own friends, so that's why I can make this decision. The answer is no. And if you need that from them, it's going to be a lot more difficult. But let me tell you this about students and kids. As long as they understand the why, it's a lot easier for them to understand. If the no isn't in anger or the no isn't, and you've laid enough groundwork to say, these are going to be priorities for us in 2019, and you get ready for 2019 now. You can't pull 30 things back you've already committed to and what they've already committed, but you can decide if you're going to sign up for those four things in the spring. And you may have to say, we're going to do one sport, one kid, one sport. Or two of you, two of the four, y'all get the spring sports, and these other two get the fall sports. Or if we're going to do that, well, we can't do this. So you make the call. You can't do both. Can't do lessons and ball. Or, hey, homework's first, so we're not having enough time. Grades aren't, so we're going to pull back because that's what's important. We have to be the adult and make those decisions. And let me also encourage you this. One of you is going to be resistant to this in the family because you're going to feel like the bad guy. Don't beat each other up and don't force each other that this causes conflict. Let me say it this way. Casey and I, my wife, there would be several times we would disagree on decisions on how to discipline and how to parent. That's just the nature of our personalities and how we were raised. Very different. But this is what I understood. Every time Casey would say, I really think we should do this, I always came back to the same Holy Spirit that convicted her of that is the same Holy Spirit that convicted me of mine. So we need to work on this and figure it out. But God has given her that conviction for a reason. I need to recognize it and work through it. And talk, does that make sense? So don't just discount. Don't be we're not doing that because that's not, he's a good ball player. He may be. But this is what I know about coaches today. Their job is to find the best talent. That's their job. And they want to find the best player they can. And having to go to every showcase, having to go to every travel ball tournament does not guarantee anything. Believe me, I wish I could pull back the hours I committed to lessons in baseball, time in baseball games, and years in baseball games. My son didn't play baseball in college. Could have. But he wanted to go to this college instead of those other colleges. They offered. They didn't. This is where he wanted to go. Guess what? I could have saved a lot of money, probably paid for a whole semester with all the lessons and stuff. And I gave something away by letting him do all that. Guess what? We still have fun. We have all of our... I'm not regretting any of those. But I'm saying sometimes I wish I had not done as much ball as we did. So we could have done... Because this is what we did do. Once we got into college... We got to go on some really cool vacations and do some really cool things on weekends that we had never gotten to do when they were in high school. Now, luckily, I live in the same town that my kids go to college in. So they're over at the house a lot. We're doing Bible studies in our home with all their friends. We went four-wheeler riding one weekend with them, and we went boating one weekend. We went hiking in the mountains, and we're going to go skiing over Thanksgiving. Don't tell them that. They don't know. But because we didn't have other commitments, we've been able to craft some really cool experiences for our family. Does that make sense? I want that for you, and I know you want that for you. So, be the adult. Intentional, be the adult. Three, trust God more than your schedule. Ultimately, margin comes down to trust. Do you trust God? Or do you trust yourself more? Because often the reason we're doing all these things is because we feel like these things will get them what we want for them instead of trusting that God will do that for you. And so do I trust if my child doesn't participate in everything, that I don't participate in everything? Do I trust that God's going to take care of college and take care of this and take... It's a trust issue. But you need to trust God more than you trust your schedule. Trust God more than the sports. Trust God more than the extracurricular. Trust God than the promotion even. Trust God. Fourth thing, start with two or three things. Don't blow up your whole list. Don't just go home and clean it all up. We're just going to stay home the rest of our lives. That's going to drive you crazy. Start with two or three things. Get your family to be a part of it. I know the kids are going to be upset a little bit. Kids, again, give your parents permission to make some of the decisions. It's the right thing. And say, you know, okay, if we got five, we need to get rid of two. Here's my vote, Dad. Here's my vote, Mom. And y'all come, okay, let's do this, and we're going to, Coach, sorry. Again, I don't think you need to teach your children once they commit to something, they finish it. Again, this may be spring, this may be January 1 plan. But come up with that. Let them be a part of the process. They'll be much more committed to it if they understand the why and they're behind part of the decision making. Next thing. Tell others why you're doing it and why. You're not mad at the coach or you're not mad. What a great way to testify to all the other families that are as out of control as you are that you're making a decision to get back control. And you know what they may do? They may do the same thing. And all of a sudden they see you 3 months later and you guys are having fun and they saw on your Instagram all these pictures and they saw on your Facebook all this fun. Like, I can't believe y'all, we're so busy. And you're going to remind them, yeah, we made a commitment in 2019. We were going to take control back of our family. It's the one thing God gave me responsibility for. And I realized I just let it get out of control. And we are having such a ball. We got game night every Thursday night, and it's fun. We do pizza every Thursday night and games. They've started inviting their friends, and we got a house full of kids before you know it. You never know. Start with two or three things. Tell others why you're doing it. Next, fight against the establishment. Everything in you is going to push you to say, you got to do this to be successful. I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying choose wisely which ones you do. And if you do them because of the establishment, if that's school, if that's job, if that's culture, whatever those are, make sure those are ministries that you're replacing them with, not just busyness. And I believe ballet can be a ministry. I think sports can be a ministry. Band, every bit of that can be a ministry if you commission your children and you commission yourself to do it. In the church, we should support you 100% in doing that. Because sometimes that means you're not going to be here. But if I know you're doing ministry and you're not here, we're good. We're good. Let's do that. Let's move it forward. Okay. Fight against the establishment. Next, start your day off right. You hear that from us all the time. You're probably tired of it, but I just keep coming back. If Jesus did that, I think we should. And some of you are going, that means I got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning because I got to get this lunches ready. So let me click. God's not up at 4, so don't worry about getting up that early. 5:30, he's probably waking up, kind of one of those things. So you can slide into that time slot, but he's not looking for you to get up at 4 o'clock and for you to be exhausted for your day. Craft out some time. Be smart with your time. Instead of listening to country music in the morning, listen to some Christian music if you weren't able to spend some time with God that morning. Because you're pouring in there. Instead of watching this show on TV, put some music on. Watch a sermon. Watch a Bible study. Again, be smarter with the time. What's the next thing? Not just start your day off right. The next one is smarter, not harder. What that means to me is I'm going to consolidate some things and make the best of them if I can't control it all. So if I don't get a chance to spend time, this is not my default. This is the exception. I am going to listen to the radio. I am going to turn the radio off on the way to school so that I can just have silence with God. Just hear from God instead of me talking and there being noise all the time. I may, with my kids, you know, I love technology. Kids love technology. So if you've got an Alexa anything, you can teach Alexa to read scripture for you in the mornings when you're gathering for breakfast. And we made that a fun thing. So a kid got to say, hey, Alexa, what's the verse of the day? And boom, now there's scripture at our breakfast table. It helps with the fighting, I promise you. But we've inserted some of God in our chaos. That was by design. That was something that we did. We had a rule as our family that we weren't going to holler in the morning. That nobody was going to holler in the morning. Now, there were times we violated that, yeah. But everybody understood that if you get up, by you not getting up, you're pushing me to a point that I have to make a choice if I'm going to holler. And we said, no, it's disrespectful. We're not going to do it. Not in our house in the mornings. And you know what? We did pretty good at that. But it was a conscious decision that we did that we said, we want to get back. And you may say, that's not margin. All of that reduces the margin level because the stress is less and everything else is less. And then you can have pleasant conversations around the table, even if it is 5 minutes with toast or with gas station breakfast, as we talked about today, how important that is in our life, especially around here. Those tacos were great this morning. Okay, smarter, not harder. That means you're going to have to find things in your life and be smarter about them, not harder about them. And you can consolidate some things. I was very fortunate, my son and daughter's senior and junior year of high school, because my son was playing on this field and my daughter was playing on this field. That's smarter, not harder. We weren't divided, we were just alone in the outfield, but it worked. We made it work. And you can do that as well in maximizing some of that. Next thing is protect the margin. Once you get it, once you've built some of that, be very cautious with letting it go. Dial that back. Hold on to it. Don't let anybody else take it away from you. And there'll be times, and if you make a decision, hey, for 4 weeks, I think we can do this. The school needs our help to do something. It's okay to say yes. If you've understood and you've made that decision and everybody understands and we agree. But after 4 weeks, we're going to pull this back. And we're not going to do something the next 4 weeks because we're going to be asked to. So again, protect the margin. And last thing I would encourage you to do is to do what I call an audit. Okay, so you got those, Kevin? We're going to pass these out to you guys. And this is just an exercise we're not going to do right now. I don't know that we have time to do it right now. And what I would like for you to do, you and your spouse, you by yourself, you with your kids, is to go down each of these subjects. There's work, there's family, there's extracurricular. You may add finances. All these things, what are our priorities? What's going on? Well, let me show you what this is. What it is. So go to the next slide. So this is what it is. So you'll see all these different categories that are there. Ministry, recreation, maintenance, work, all the stuff that has to come with family. And hit the next button because it'll zoom in a little bit. So you're going to list all your activities in a given week. How much time does each of these take? For instance, you may be driving 40 minutes for a 20-minute thing. That may not be the best use of your time. So you may need to find somebody else. Like, well, this is the best teacher. Really? Is it going to make? I remember buying the $300 baseball bat because I thought that was going to help my child put a ball over. And I realized we're talking about ounces here. Here's the target bat. Go. That's just what you're going to do. And it didn't make a difference. Either way, that wasn't going to make. So we have to make some wise decisions when it comes to how much time we're spending on some stuff. What resources does each take? So does this deplete? Does this gain? Is this costing us more money? Is this costing us time? What is it going to help you with? It's going to gain us maybe a ministry opportunity that we didn't have before. You know, I really do believe my son and my daughter's athletic ability was a gift by God to be used by God. And if we played sports for their glory, we missed the whole purpose of their gifts. If we play sports for their glory and not name, not just I'm going to pray before the game, but really saw it as ministry. So I invited my whole team to VBS. And I let them spend the night at my house and destroy it so that I could take them to VBS. Those are the kind of things you do for ministry, not just sports for them. And then what changes need to be made? Just be honest about that. Be honest about those choices. Be honest about those things. And you might discover there are some things we can cut back on and do. What I have found is the reason why we seem to find ourselves really in a good place, and then all of a sudden this schedule creeps up and we're out of control, is because we never stopped, sat back, and made a decision. We didn't get the calendars out. We didn't go on a date night and say, this is the first 30 minutes of date night. It's going to be really protecting the margin. And have that a part of your normal routine. That, how are we doing on our margin? I think we're out of control right now. Is there anything we can adjust? Anything we well, let's not say next yes to this next year. Now, again, I told you I would do this. I want to give you permission to say no. You need to know that it's perfectly within your right to say no. Does that mean it may cost your child something? Maybe. It may cost them a starting role. It may cost them to be a part of a team. But in the long run, I mean, how many, I guess maybe that's the question. For all of us, the things that we thought we had to do when we were children, that we look back going out, that really wasn't a big deal as I thought it was. Our children aren't wise enough to make that decision at their age. We are. So if you think it really didn't have that big an impact on you, it probably a good shot it's not going to have that big of an impact on them. But this is what I do know. My children often say, man, I loved that vacation. That was my favorite. So one of the things like we do, this is a consolidation, smarter, not harder. We take all of our Christmas cards and we put them in a bowl after Christmas and put that on our table. And when we, not every night because we didn't do that, but the nights that we sat down and had dinner, we would take two cards out and that's who we prayed for at our blessing. That was taking ministry, instilling prayer into our family. Somehow we had scheduled where we were all home and we were going to make the most of the time that we did have at home so that I felt like I was growing them and teaching them that prayer was important and here's a simple way to do it. They hated being in the car because I knew they couldn't get away from me. And on the stick shift was a stack of questions all on a carabiner that big. And every time I started with a question. Now, I never did that in the morning. That's just not smart. They're still sleeping. They're not awake. And they're just going to hate you. So just acknowledge. Just sing and whistle and move on with life. Enjoy your quiet time. But after school or going home from a game, I'd grab a question like, no! Oh, if you could be any cartoon character, who would you be and why? You got to answer. We're not going by Chipotle until we do. Hey! But you work those things in. You're intentional about how do I create the margin. We're going to go on a mission trip this year, guys. And here's the mission trip. And it's going to be a family thing. Well, that's when cheerleading camp is. I'm sorry, you're going to tell your sponsor you're not going to be there. Well, it's required. Well, then I'm sorry. We'll look for another mission trip. There's an option. There's not. We made this decision first as a family. And you're just going to have to tell her we're going to be on a mission trip. And if they kick you off the cheerleading team, what does that ultimately mean? It means you had the opportunity to teach your child that going and serving others was more important than everybody looking at you. Now, that's hard. That's difficult. But the only person who cares about your family is you. No sponsor is going to say, hey, you guys, she's on a mission trip. Let's all go on a mission trip. We'll just go on with her and we'll just practice in the afternoons. Well, that would be great, wouldn't it? But they're not going to do that. You're the one who's going to have to do that. Ephesians 5, let's go back to where we started. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. I can promise you this. If you work on margin, a few things are going to happen in your life. Your walk with God is going to be richer. And the impact of your family is going to be the envy of most that you come into contact with. Because you're going to have accomplished something that all of them desire, but none of them have been able to do. And in that process, God may use your hard decisions to make a bigger impact on those families than if you had just kept the chaos that's going on. Okay? So let me have a word of prayer. Again, I want to encourage you to take that home. Work on it. Be open. Don't be defensive. Oh, I can't stop that. No. I love to play. I played softball all the way through college. Loved it. But guess what? When my kids started playing ball, I stopped playing ball because it was more important to me. I didn't have enough time to play my softball, which I had every right to do. I said, you know, I'm just not going to play, and I'm going to go hang out with them. It'd be more important for me to coach their team than for me to go play my softball game. Love you guys. It's great, but I only got so much. I'm going to go here. I've never regretted it. And nor have I ever pulled a hamstring, because I think the older I get, the sooner that would have happened. Hey, thanks for letting me. Again, very different subject. Something difficult for us to kind of process. Not one, two, three steps. It's not easy. This is going to be one of those things I hope you go home and go, we need to talk about this. We need to talk about this and then commit to working on it. Students, give your parents permission to work on it, because they're only doing what they think is best for your family. You may not understand that now. Jesus says in John 13:7, you do not understand my ways now, but you will later. So trust. Trust that when God says, be still and know that I am in God, that it's going to pay off more than you can imagine. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for truth. Your word reminding us that you yourself escaped, rested, took care of your soul, spent times with just your family, and got away from the crowd. May we continue to follow your example. Your name. Amen.